Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Masterson Inheritance, an improvised historical saga of a family at war with itself. The history of the Masterson family is rich in triumph and despair, but never were they so sorely tested as when they found themselves shipwrecked on a desert island. Tonight, our team of performers will attempt to spontaneously bring to life the story of a Masterson family cast away from the power and luxury that they love so well. A story based entirely on the suggestions of our studio audience. No script, no rehearsals, just an audience and a couple of microphones. To bring you this story... I'll say that again. To bring you this story of surf, sand, and scandalous behaviour, we have Josie Lawrence, Fayley McDermott, Paul Merton, Caroline Quentin, Lee Simpson, and Jim Sweeney. Right, I'm going to go into the audience now. This is going to be the one show that people buy for a lot of money because it never gets shown. Well, that's a good start. Right. Now, some members of the Masterson family, along with perhaps a couple of servants, who knows, have been shipwrecked on a desert island. So I'm going to go into the audience now, listener, and I'm going to ask for some ask-fors to get this story going. The first one is, now, what would be one of the first things the Mastersons would do having been shipwrecked? What? Who said something?
Have a picnic.
Have a picnic. Let me put this closer to you. So, what would they do?
Have a picnic.
Have a picnic. Of course you would. And the second thing is, a reason for a long-held and secret grudge. Somebody's got a grudge. What's that about?
Getting to bring the corkscrew.
A minute. I'm running over here now. Right, what's the reason for the grudge? Wait a minute. Microphone technique.
Always forgetting to bring the corkscrew on the picnic.
Oh, yes. All right. Always forgetting to bring the corkscrew. That's the reason for the long-held secret grudge. Right. Now, something they find on the island.
A hairdresser's plunger.
What?
A hairdresser's. A hairdresser's.
Hairdressers. I might be coming to you sooner than you think, Lee. And could we have a title for tonight's episode, please? The Marooned Mastersons. Can you just say it for
me? The Marooned Mastersons.
Very good. So there we have it. That's all our ask for. And they are... I'll put this down and Right, so our ask-fors are having a picnic, always forgetting to bring the corkscrew, a hairdresser's, and the title is The Marooned Mastersons. The Masterson Inheritance. Chapter, what is it? Can I do that bit again? Here it comes. The Masterson Inheritance. This week, the Marooned Mastersons. The sea can be a cruel master. It can devour small wooden ships like pieces of crisp bread. And spit them out onto whatever deserted piece of land it chooses. Such a ship was the Triton. Battling against the waves, it was no use. It sank desperately lower, lower onto the ocean bed. The only survivors... were very bad at overacting. The storm calmed, and on a deserted beach we find Pollyanna Pinchcliffe, a beautiful, though soggy woman, lying amongst the rocks, and, trying to revive her, young Charles Masterson, a bit of a git. That's any one of you four.
Oh, golly, what am I going to do? Perhaps I should push on her. Master resuscitation. Oh, that's the thing.
Unhand me.
Damn, she's come round. I had such plans for her.
Where am I?
Oh, Hollyanna, I don't know. I was washed up on this beach myself. And I saw you lying there, unconscious, and, well, I clapped my lips onto yours and breathed like Billy.
I recognise you from the poop deck. You're a bit of a git.
I am. I thought the poop deck was where you did the poop.
I know.
Silly old me. Poop, poop, poop.
But you saved my life.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Thank you. Are we alone here?
I don't know. I haven't met anybody else yet.
They decided to check for survivors.
Mm. Let's check for survivors.
None in my pockets.
Nothing down my corset.
Anyway. Come on here, Hollyanna. Perhaps we should strike out inland and see if we can find anybody else.
Shall we split up?
Oh, we haven't been going out for very long.
Again, isn't it?
It is and all. I know it's a bit of a git, but there we are. All right, well, let's split up. You go north, I'll go south.
Oh, no.
All right, north is straight out to sea. Perhaps that's wrong.
I can't swim.
All right, you go east and I'll go west. That's better.
But how will we find each other again?
Well, if it's an island, we'll meet round the other side.
But we don't know how big it is, do we?
All right, golly, things are looking up.
I'm scared.
Don't be scared, Hollyanna. We'll be all right. Plucky, 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 chin up. As my grandmama used to say.
Was she a turkey?
Meanwhile, on the other side of the island, on a small, white, sandy bay, Lord Morley Masterson was giving orders to Chivers, the butler. They had both survived. They had between them just two trunks and one barrel of fresh water.
Come along, Chivers. Hurry up.
Oh, I'm hurrying. Blimey.
What exactly did you manage to save from the wreck?
All your stuff. None of mine. It's all on the boat, isn't it? Down with Davy Jones in his locker now. Got all your stuff, though.
Did you manage to save the hamper?
Yes.
I saved the hamper.
Good. Could you lay the things out? I'm feeling rather peckish, actually.
Oh, you poor thing.
Here you are, then. There's the cutlery, glasses, sandwiches, plates, bottle of wine. There you are.
Very good, yes. I sit myself down. Could you dry me off, Chivers?
Oh, for goodness.
Oh, all right. Is that better?
Thank you. Don't blow in my ear like that.
I've got a cold.
Just why does that mean you have to blow in my ear?
I was sneezing.
Now then,
wait.
Cheese, and could you pour me a glass of wine, Chivers?
Yeah, I'll, Oh, no.
laugh, you will.
Chivers, what exactly do you have to tell me?
Well, you know how it's very easy to open a bottle with a corkscrew?
Yes, Chivers.
Well, it's going to be hard for us.
You mean...
on the boat!
Chivers, we always have to go through this every time we want the wine. Just what is it about you?
I haven't got a good memory in the corkscrew area.
Well, Chivers, you shall just have to open the bottle of wine without a corkscrew.
Oh, will I?
What was Chivers to do? We leave him in his dilemma. Meanwhile, entangled in a forest of kelp, bopped... bopped Charles Masterson, the eldest son of Lord Morley. He was usually a handsome, well-coiffured chap, but now he sank and bobbed up and down in the salty water, a man half-drowned, half-deranged, and a bit hungry. Oh. His name wasn't Charles, it was Tarquin. But they looked similar.
Oh, God, how much longer do I have to wade through this kelp? 6 foot above me head and I can't see my own face in front of me hand. Not that I normally could anyway. Unless I get a sea bathyscope. Which is a device which is divines and arranged so you can look at your own face when there's nothing else there to look at. God, I'm hungry and my hair needs a damn good cut. This damn deserted island. Well, is it deserted? I don't know. It's not deserted at the moment because I'm on it, so... it must be at least an island with one person on it. So I'm talking, don't mind.
Tarquin! Tarquin heard a distant voice! Shut your face! Tarquin heard a distant voice, a beautiful voice.
Oh, it's a damn shame I'm stone deaf.
Hello!
I can hear the sea. Ah! Good Lord, it's a 3:30 from Paddington.
Hello. Upon a man having hallucinations. I must try and calm him. Hello, good sir.
Hello, fair maiden.
My name is Hollyanna, and yours?
Hollyanna.
Sorry, I've got the voices. Pollyanna.
Aren't we members of the same family?
No, no, you're much mistaken.
Huh?
I think perhaps you know me from the ship.
Yes. You were the exotic cabaret.
I'm afraid you are mistaken, sir.
What on earth did you do with that Spanish onion at the end?
No.
Go on, he's raving.
Quite insane. Quite mad. No, I am Pollyanna Pinchcliffe. Don't you remember me? We dined together at the captain's table.
Indeed. Pollyanna?
Yes.
I noticed you at the captain's table.
Good.
You were the one serving the peas, weren't you?
Quite mad. No, I was there with my mother, who I believe was drowned in the wreck.
When you say she was drowned in the wreck, do you mean that her body never physically left the ship? That the water pressed in on her cabin door? And as her lungs... Well, she's here tonight. Thanks to
the tidal waves.
Oh,
he's
no!
He's washed up on the beach.
No! No!
Soul.
Don't torture me.
Ones.
Don't torture me so, for I am orphaned now.
My child, I'm sorry. That was a rather tasteless joke.
You spotted that?
Yes.
But it was true. Pollyanna's dead mother lay on the craggy rocks below.
Oh, no.
Clutching in her hand a Swiss Army penknife.
Look.
She was the only one who didn't go for the lifeboat.
My... Poor mother, she...
Did you have a snorkel attachment?
No, but she was so fond of that knife, My father gave it to her on their wedding night.
Well.
Oh, look at it. Look at her.
Yes.
Bobbing up and down there on the rocks. I wonder if, very gently, try and unclasp her fingers from around the knife. And, there.
Here, let me hit them with a hammer.
Rigor mortis
is a bugger, isn't it?
6 hours passed.
And so eventually I decided to sell the house and move to Shropshire.
Really, I must be going. Night is falling and...
I haven't shown you my finger-snapping tricks.
Oh, yes, you have. On my own mother.
And there's plenty more where that came from.
No, really, Tarquin, you're very, very talented, but I must go. I'm looking for a friend of mine, Charles, who I left on the other side of the island, and it's getting dark, and who knows what could be on this island. Come with me or stay, but we must hurry.
Come with her or stay. She gives me an extraordinary choice. I think I'll go with her. Or shall I stay?
He decided to come rather than stay.
My leg, I can't move.
9 hours later, and soon at the sandy beach cove, all the survivors were gathered together around a Spartan one flame fire.
What is it, an electric one? Look at this fire, it's only got one bloody flame.
It's the best I could do.
And there they all were, Pollyanna Pinchcliffe, Lord Morley Masterson, Charles Masterson the Git, Tarquin, and Chuvers the butler.
Well.
I'm freezing.
Well.
I'm so cold and I'm so hungry, and you ate all the picnic before we got here.
Yes.
Terribly sorry about that. I was rather peckish.
I don't know if any of you feel like hors d'oeuvres, but there is an old woman lying on the...
Now that we're all gathered together, I think we ought to build a shelter.
Oh, here we go.
Now, gather together, start collecting sticks, and we shall make a small house.
I don't know how to collect sticks. I've never collected sticks in my life.
Oh, Chivers will collect the sticks.
Chivers, get the sticks.
May I suggest that we go for something bigger than sticks if we're going to build a house?
Yes, I mean, after all, that wolf can blow bloody hard.
Good. We must gather sand, crush it together, and make bricks.
God, you're a practical man.
Yes.
Chivers decided to take control.
Air!
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm taking control. I've had enough of you and your ways. Now.
Hang on a minute here. What are you talking about?
Yes, what's the matter, Chivers? You're a servant. You're a valued servant. You're not to take control or anything.
Oh, yeah. Who knows how to do things, then?
Well, I can crochet.
You can crochet us a main course meal, then.
I'm very good at sitting down.
I can play the piano.
Why don't you play the piano and you sit down while I build a house, find food, and have a big meal?
Oh, thank you.
Or would you like to come with me?
Well, I'd certainly like to help if I can.
Right. Stop chopping down trees now. You got a Swiss Army knife?
Chopping down trees? What on earth do you mean?
Shut your big gob.
Yes, you're a servant. Hold on a moment. You can't speak to him like that.
Oh, can't I?
No.
Wait, slobbery chops.
Oh! Yes, of course. Chivers could take control. And that is what he did over the following week. He took control of the house building, the shelter, the fire building, and the food gathering.
One more tree, come on.
This is most embarrassing.
Pollyanna and Charles were set to collect food in a nearby jungle just up the road from where the beach was.
Well, we've got to get some food from the jungle. Do you think it'll be open? Thursday, it could be a half day closing.
You really are a git, aren't you, Charles?
Oh, yes. I studied it at school. They called me git.
Don't you see? We have to collect berries and coconuts and beetles and perhaps try and kill something with a sharp-pointed stick or possibly the Swiss Army knife.
Oh, you mean hunting?
Yes, surely you've done that at home.
Oh, yes, ballyho, I should say so. On a horse chasing a fox, watching it ripped apart by dogs. What fun.
No, Charlie, we haven't got any dogs and we haven't got a horse. We're going to have to do it on our own.
Really? Well, I'll tell you what. I read a book once. Only one. Didn't like it, so didn't read any more. But it was an adventure tale, don't you know? And they dug a pit, just to trap an animal. Do you think we could do the same?
Well, I suppose so. We could try. It might take hours, though, Charlie.
Oh, well, I'm prepared to try if you are.
All right.
Well, I'll start to dig just...
Hands and knees, then.
And so with their bare hands, they started to dig. Lord Morley could not get used to the ways of the working man. He sat in a hammock betwixt two coconut trees and talked to his son, Tarquin, who was evermore bemoaning the fact that his hair was getting scruffier.
My hair.
Never mind your hair.
Never mind my hair. It's my finest feature. What do you mean, never mind my hair?
Well, I've got this bottle of wine here and I can't bloody well open it.
Have you tried pushing the cork in with your finger?
No, it doesn't seem to work.
Oh.
I've not got much strength, you know. I don't use my hands nowadays. I've got a servant to do that sort of thing for me.
Cheers! Not anymore, you haven't.
God, it's so frustrating being on this island.
Yes, it is frustrating. It's frustrating for me. I haven't had a haircut since I got here. What kind of island is this?
Well, it's a desert island.
A desert island?
Yes, we're surrounded on all sides by water.
That makes it an island!
So it does.
Suddenly, Tarquin looked at Lord Morley with evil in his eyes. He could take it. It was desert island sickness.
Good
he
God,
was a
son.
Madman, deranged. He lunged at Lord Morley.
What are you doing?
Ow!
I'm sorry, I made a lunge for you.
What are you doing in this hammock with me?
I love you, Daddy!
Oh, well, I won't be needing chivers then.
The hammock rocks back and fro. Oh, as in their wanderlust, they were totally encapsulated. Sweat mixed with other derogatory objects.
Don't touch the hair!
That's one way of getting your hair gelled. Meanwhile, Chivers was sitting on a lone rock looking out to sea.
Oh, it's all stuck to the comb.
One way of getting the cork out as well.
La 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 la.
Suddenly, la, la, la. He felt fingers running through the curls on his beautiful blonde head.
Hello?
And a sweet voice spoke to him, the likes of which he had never heard before.
Hello. Big boy. What are you doing sitting on the rock?
Having a break.
From what?
Building the house. We're building a house. Who are you?
I live on the island. I am Island Girl.
Why are you playing with my hair?
I have never seen golden hair before. All the island people have black hair.
I must say, it's in remarkable condition, considering we're on an island. Is that a feather cut?
Yes, very much like Linda McCartney used to.
Nice.
Thank you.
Yes, this wonderful woman was not only a strange creature, but also a hairdresser.
Yes, an interesting combination, don't you think?
Strange creature and hairdresser, yes.
I could do something for your bar mitzvah.
It's a shame I moved.
Do you want me to cut it with this little bit of razor sharp shell?
Oh, yes, a little bit off the back would be quite nice. We're hoping to get away this summer.
Pollyanna had dug and dug and dug the animal pit. She was hot. She was sweaty. She decided to abandon her crinoline garments and dive into a cool lagoon.
Oh, I can no longer bear to be restricted by these corsets. Oh, yes, to liberate my body, to feel the sun for the first time on my skin. Ah, oh, a pool. I must dive, dive, dive.
Charles looked on. Charles looked on, but because he was a gentleman, he wore a blindfold.
Come over.
Ah! Oh, you are such a git. Come here. Let me untie your blindfold. Look upon my nakedness. We can be free on this island. Charlie, don't stare at Bruce. Oh, come now. Let's not be shackled by all the old conventions.
We can still be shackled, though, can't we?
If you
All right, I'm going to take off this waistcoat.
Yes! Yes!
Trousers!
Trousers! Oh, underpants! Boots and oh!
Chainmail little undies!
Charlie!
This G-string with barbed wire on the inside! I'm going to get rid of it all and...
Charlie!
Let myself hang free!
And what a hanging, Charlie! It's one of the seven wonders of the world! Ah, you may be a git, but you're hung like a horse!
Chivers arrived with his new haircut, much to the envy of young Tarquin.
Coming on well, the house. Haircut, haircut. Shampooed and conditioned.
Shampooed and conditioned. You're a very chilkioya. You're a very clever man, Chivers.
Yes, I am.
But how on earth did you manage to put together a shampoo and conditioner out of simple driftwood?
Maybe I didn't need to.
What do you mean?
Maybe I've got friends on this island.
Friends? Yes. But how can you have friends? There's nobody but us. We were the only one who survived the shipwreck.
Ah, you haven't gone deep enough into the jungle, have you?
No, I couldn't get through that forest of kelp.
I know. And I'll scuff me knees.
What do you mean?
Then you didn't find Jason's Hair Emporium.
Jason's Hair Emporium?
Open late on Friday.
Do they do bubble cuts?
It pushed. The islanders here, many years ago, a hairdresser landed here and taught them all the finer arts of haircutting.
Chivers, I think it's time you took a day off.
No, it was true. Chivers decided to lead Tarquin through the murky jungle to Jason's Hair Emporium, where there they met Jason himself and the young, sweet native girl.
So it's true.
Yeah, look.
Jason's Hair Emporium.
Please come in. Jason will see you in a moment. I can't remember what accent I was. Please step through the slash curtain.
Hello?
Hello.
I assume you're Mr. Emporium.
That's right. Jason Emporium. I say, your hair. It's in terrible condition.
It is in terrible condition, but I can assure you that when I am at home in decent surroundings, I have a lion's mane.
Oh, shut up. Sit yourself down. Get in the chair. Come along. Oh, there's all salt in this hair. What have you been doing?
Let's say I've been swimming in the sea. It was the only way I could wash the spunk out of it.
Put that out on Radio 4.
So as you see, it's left it all rather brittle. I think I've split my ends.
I think it should all come off. All of it.
All of it?
Yes.
Isn't that rather radical, Jason?
What, I'm a radical kind of hairdresser, really.
All right. Do your worst.
Well, here goes. Music.
So Jason's set to work. Snipping, snipping, snipping. Bit until the pink, shiny scalp of Tarquin was revealed.
Bit of polishing. Little bit of... There we are.
Tarquin looked at his new image.
Pair of a mirror.
Suddenly yes. Felt... base. Suddenly felt like every true man should feel. He felt at one with the earth, at one with nature, and a bit like Yul Brynner. He changed his personality completely.
It's lovely, I love it. It's really nice of it to look like Yul Brynner, don't it?
Please.
Oh, it's absolutely gorgeous. I don't need to wash my hair anymore. Just give me a whack with an early rag. My name's Alan Bennett. Hello.
Everyone who comes to Jason's Emporium always leaves satisfied.
Well, I've had my hair cut. What's next, then?
Eh? Come along through here.
Through the slash curtain?
Yes, through the slash curtain.
Oh, my God, I've never seen anything like that before.
Yes,
it?
It's a grotto.
A grotto?
Yes, a Christmas grotto.
A Christmas grotto?
Yes. I keep it here on the island to remind me of Christmas.
You wouldn't be happy with a cracker? What goes on in this grotto, then, Jason?
Well...
I'd like to know.
I pretend to be Santa.
I know. Let me guess, I'm one of your little helpers, right? You want me to stuff your bag full of presents?
I don't know how I got myself into this.
We all make choices in life. And you decided to be a bloke called Jason. It suits you.
I'm often told that.
You got lovely eyes for an hairdresser, like.
Tarquin.
Aye. I might as well tell you, I've had sex with my own dad since I've been here. I'm not proud. Give us a kiss and you'll never have to strop yourself ever again.
Had sex with his own dad. He just had a bit of snog.
Aye, nothing serious, you understand. Just a bit of heavy petting.
Meanwhile...
There's nothing funny about me.
Meanwhile, back at the
beach... I said to him, no tongues.
Meanwhile...
And keep your pants on and all.
Meanwhile, back...
Because I'll rip them off for you. You cheeky little father of mine.
Meanwhile...
Oh, you can see I've got hormones.
Meanwhile, back at the beach... Pollyanna and Charles had returned. They had now eschewed the cotton clothing of their past dilemmas and were wreathed in leaves and flowers from the jungle. Oh, Chivers looked at them and felt... happy.
Oh.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Oh, no.
Good Lord.
Hello, Chivers. How are you, old fellow?
Well, I'm seeing you in a different light, Charles.
Yes, you think these leaves suit me? I feel so much freer in them, you know? So much closer to nature. What have I been missing all these years? Stuffed up in those silly old clothes. By golly, Chivers, I see you in a different light as well. You're a game fella.
Not that game.
Come on, Chivers.
No.
Whip off your gear. Come on. Let your body be free to the elements. Feel the sun kissing those beautiful thighs.
You know, Chivers?
Yes?
There's something magical about this island. Something that affects your very soul. It's affected me and Pollyanna. I know. Has it affected you as well?
I can see it's affected you. You're closer to nature. It's dragging along behind you.
Yes, it was true. Everyone was being affected.
I will. I'll take off my clothes too.
Yes!
Yes, well. It's not the size of the ship, it's the motion of the ocean.
Just then...
That's what everyone with a small cock says, isn't it?
Just then, Tarquin, the native girl, and Jason dashed through the jungle to meet the other happy threesome.
Oh! You have made a beautiful house.
Ah, you like it?
It is lovely.
It is lovely. Jason, I'd like you to meet my friend. This is Jibber the butler.
Hello.
And this is Charles Mason. He's a bit big-age.
Hello.
I say.
Yes, we're all pleased with it.
Oh, yes, there's enough to go round.
Wait a minute.
What? Yes?
I've just had an idea. Why am I talking like Dick Van Dyke? Wait a minute. I've just had an idea. We could use your sexual organs as a raft. We could all climb aboard.
It was true.
The testicles like that will never sink.
It was a bit like coasting on those big yellow bananas you get in Greece. Fast when you fall off
him. I don't want to know about it.
Come on, let's paint it yellow and give it a go.
The first dry run was a success. They managed to go from one end of the island to the next. And they celebrated that night because Pollyanna had found a corkscrew in the Swiss Army knife, and the bottle of wine was finally open.
Oh!
Cheers, everyone!
But before you drink it...
Yes?
Surely we should christen our new ship.
I brought a bottle of champagne.
Champagne.
We named this ship...
couldn't we talk about this?
What should we name it?
Let's think of something clean.
I don't think we can.
Just in case we want this broadcast or something. We'll name this the Masterson Lightboat.
Here! The glass sunk deep into Charles' flesh. Deeper and deeper sank the glass. Blood dyed the sand murky red, and Charles died.
Listen to you. Marie, your knob with a bottle of champagne.
Yes, the Mastersons and their newfound family were destined to be marooned for many, many years. Would they make a new life on this island? And would this new life soon become the Masterson Inheritance?
Okay, I'm gonna talk.
I'll do it now.
All right.
In the Masterson Inheritance, you...
So, if we imagine, just imagine it's the end, so you applaud. This will never go out, by the way.
You've been broadcasting live since 9:30.
The surfboard bit, that will never... That was
the first bit. They did have them. They had them on the line.
What, surfboard?
Yeah.
Made out of a willy. What does that mean? Did I? Anyway, move on. All right, so if you imagine it's the end of the show, obviously, God, my mum would kill me if she did. This is what I did for a living, right. It's the end of the show, so it's a round of applause, and then we'll play the theme music. So after the...
Inheritance, you heard Josie Lawrence, Phelan McDermott, Paul Merton, Caroline Quentin, Lee Simpson, and Jim Sweeney. Dialogue, music, and sound effects were improvised live at the Paris studio. The studio managers were John Whitehall, Wilfred Acosta, and Colin Guthrie. The producer was Phil Clark.
Right, well, it only remains for me to say thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for staying for two shows, and you were an excellent audience. Thank you very much. It's the end of three brilliant series down here at the Paris. It only remains for me to also say thank you very much to the staff of the Paris, who've been brilliant for us. Also to John, Wilf and Colin in particular, who've done brilliant sound effects. Just before I say good night finally, I'd just like to say also that the Masterson Christmas special goes out on Christmas Day, so listen out for that on Christmas morning. Also, if you're looking for a last-minute Christmas present, the Masterson Inheritance is available in all good bookshops and other places, and my house. So, it only remains for me to say thank you to our cast, who've done a brilliant series and a brilliant show tonight. Thanks very much. Thank you, and good night.